This morning's message is from that gospel lesson we read just a few moments ago. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Dear friends in Christ, many of us, of course, fear the truth when it comes to revealing something about us. We all know things about ourselves that we just don't want to face. We have things to which, well, we refuse to admit. We eat too much. We're poor housekeepers. We have poor study habits. We're disorganized. We're going nowhere in business. We drink too much. We care too much about age. But of course, don't let anybody else tell us this ugly truth, right? Today we celebrate the coming of the Spirit of truth. That Holy Spirit that was promised by our Lord Jesus shortly before he went up to Gethsemane with his disciples and was betrayed by the hand of Judas. And it's great, of course, to remember Jesus' promise that came true by the rushing wind that we heard in the book of Acts. Those tongues of fire, the apostles' ability to preach in languages they had never learned. But what exactly does this Spirit of truth mean for you and for me? Well, it must be pretty important, since John actually refers to the Spirit of truth a lot of times in his gospel. Now, we tend to approach truth with fear and trembling, especially when it's truth about ourselves. And now we're supposed to be happy about this Spirit of truth's appearing? Well, in fact, our fear of truth pretty much has put the meaning of truth up for grabs in today's world. In a postmodern society, one of the things that they talk about is the fact that there is no absolute truth. They say truth is now relative. According to one particular apologist, he says that that our day and age has its feet firmly planted in midair. In other words, there's nothing to stand on, no truth, no absolute truths to stand on. The assertion basically is that there's no absolute truth. And if you say something like there is such a thing as absolute truth by which we measure ourselves, and the way we measure others guarantees that you and I, that we will be branded as mean, just plain mean. But, of course, we're likely comfortable using that measuring stick on somebody else. And then we resent that measuring stick being used on us. We all know the story, right? David and Bathsheba, where David commits adultery with Bathsheba. She gets pregnant. He brings Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, by the way, and tries to get him to lay with her to kind of think, so that he thinks it's his child. That doesn't work. And so David has him murdered on the battlefield by the hand of the Philistines. And then Nathan the prophet comes to David and tells him this interesting story about a rich man living next to a poor man. The rich man had lots of sheep. The poor man had just one. The rich man had somebody come to dinner, and instead of slaughtering one of his sheep for the dinner, he goes to the poor man's and takes the one sheep that he had raised, loved, and cared for, takes that sheep and kills it for his own purposes. And so Nathan says, what should happen to this man? And David is angry. He is beside himself. And he says this: as the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And then Nathan says those two words in Hebrew, Atah Ha'ish. And he points the finger and he says, you are that man. You are the man. Nathan, as he's speaking this to David, as he's prophetically talking to David, announces David's ugly truth. The ugly truth about him. You see, the ugly truth is really hard to swallow when it's applied to you and to me, when it's applied to us personally. See, David found it really easy in the abstract to talk about the injustice that was done to this poor man, as long as it didn't touch him. And in dealing with the truth, he was still avoiding truth, because he didn't allow the truth to actually address himself. He was so blind to the truth that he didn't see himself in the description of the rich shepherd. He didn't see the story that Nathan was telling him. He didn't see himself in there. But then through the power of the Spirit, those words cut through, you are the man. David knew the ugly truth. He knew it not just because his ears heard it. He knew it because he was cut to the very heart. His heart heard it and accepted it. He heard God's verdict. And suddenly, of course, with his sham all exposed, David stood before God and said, I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. In that great Psalm 51. In our world today, people have a really hard time believing that there's such a thing as truth. We're stung by government. We're stung by scandals within the church, by business, by education, even by sports, with doping scandals and performance-enhancing drugs. We've actually become cynical many times, and we're not surprised when people or institutions fail. So it's no wonder that the masses today believe that that truth is basically what you feel is right for you. And we're taught basically to create our own reality. So we can well understand Pilate's cynicism when he says to Jesus, what is truth? But the Spirit of truth that Jesus describes is actually sent to get us to say, something like this. He isn't sent by Jesus to get us to say, I'm telling the truth, or honestly, it happened this way. The Spirit testifies and he points to the Word, revealing that God is truth, that Jesus is truth, that the Spirit of God is truth. See, God not only knows truth in a way that's really beyond us, God embodies all that is real. Because God is truth and he is true to his word. He speaks his word and it is. He says, let there be light, and it is. Truth, when identified with Jesus, means reality, the reality of God. This is the reality that confronted King David, and that's the same reality that exposes the ugliness in our soul when it's turned away from the goodness of God. See, the Spirit worked through the prophet, and what happened is that David had the proper response. He repented. And now the Spirit of truth comes to us. It comes to you and comes to me, just in the way that Jesus promised, convicting the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. I think you and I can both agree that we identify with David. We would actually prefer that the ugly reality of our sin would remain hidden. We really don't want it shown to everybody. And we might make up some pretty good stories to ward off suspicion so that we keep up our reputation. Maybe we consider ourselves better than the average unbelieving sinner. And in doing that, in believing that, we're actually exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Because we're not better. We're just forgiven. Sure, we might accept the truth that God lives in heaven, that he created all things. That doesn't hurt anything, right? But the truth that exposes us and makes us very vulnerable before the Holy One, well, we don't like to address that in ourselves. We go out of our way to make up for it, thinking, well, I'm not so bad. I'm not nearly as bad as they are. There's so many others who do worse than me. Surely if I make up for it with some great work or some kindness or generosity, God's going to let this go. But what the Spirit of Truth does is pierces into our darkness and brings our ugly truth to life, to light. The Spirit basically comes just the way Jesus promised. I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Sin and righteousness and judgment. The Spirit pierces our hearts, opens them up to the reality. The Spirit comes to us and says the same thing that Nathan said to David. You are the man. You are the woman. Not somebody who's on the late night news that's convicted of a felony. It's not about some great evil out there, out in the world. It's, or the evil that's in my brother or in the world. It's about us. We've been convicted. It's the ugly truth. And yet there's another truth. There's a beautiful truth. A truth that's revealed by this same Spirit. This same Spirit of truth. And this is what we can praise God for. Jesus promises, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Just like the reality of God's Word convicts us concerning sin and judgment, the Spirit convicts us of righteousness. You see, the Spirit actually delivers righteousness to us. That same righteousness that our Savior won for us by his death, by shedding his blood on the cross. See, where the truth of the law actually convicts us of the ugly truth of our own sin, the gospel delivers the beautiful truth that despite our sin, God has sent his Son to die for you and for me. God is for us. That's God's reality. God is true to his word. We can celebrate the coming of the Spirit without any fear of the truth that it brings, because this Jesus died for us, he rose for us, he reigns for us, and he prays for us. And the Spirit of the truth continues to bear witness that because of Christ's redemption, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. The Spirit actually causes us to believe the miracle that when we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just and forgives our and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God didn't reject David. He forgave him. Neither does he reject you or me. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. God loves you. He loves me. He loves the world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can live with this reality. Absolutely. God welcomes us into fellowship with him. And it is to this beautiful truth, this gospel truth, that his Spirit bears witness. You see, in this day today, what we always realize, and what I encourage you to realize, that is that for us as children of God, in place of the ugly truth, the Holy Spirit gives us this beautiful truth: righteousness in exchange for guilt, forgiveness in exchange for shame, and life in exchange for death. And that's what we need. It's absolutely what we need. That's what the Spirit of truth has come to testify about. That's what the apostles were told to witness about. And that's the same thing that we are told to witness about. The Helper has come. He has revealed the truth, and that truth is the reality. That truth is the truth that brings us life. In His name, amen and amen.